The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
So good morning and welcome back to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org 88.1 on your radio dial if you still happen to have one of those radio dials, Iris. You know, you turn it and
I do. I still have one of those.
Well, if it works, you can get us at 88.1 FM. So my name is Rebecca Miller and I am guest hosting today Project Independence and You. I'm here in place of John Ryan for the day, and our co-host is Iris Bunshaft. Iris is a longtime Project Independence member, and not just a member, but someone who has contributed to a lot of the services and programs here at Project Independence, including a frequent co-host on the radio show and sits on a lot of the advisory meetings. And Iris and I were chatting just a little bit before we started, and I asked her how she became a Project Independence member and a member of the advisory. And she was at a program and saw a couple of people from Project Independence, and they asked her where she was from, and they said, okay, now you're part of the advisory, and I think that's kind of how it went.
Close enough. I'm glad to be here today as well.
Okay, well, we're so happy to have you here. And our first guest is Dr. Quanta Ahmed. And what a bio you have, Dr. Ahmed. We're so happy to have you here. To go through your bio and all the specialties that you have would take up probably the whole show and be a great show, by the way. But today we're going to be talking a lot about sleep disorders and especially how it impacts and affects people in the later years. So we'll be getting to that. And our next guest is going to be Erin Binkowski, who is a community educator at the Alzheimer's Association, the Long Island chapter. And we look forward to speaking with her. And then we will have, of course, our radio part, Old Time Radio, which lasts about a half an hour. And then we'll be speaking with Christina Liu, the radio show producer for Talk of the Town. And just one thing I wanted to mention was last week was Project Independence and You, our 7-year anniversary. So we've been doing this radio show for 7 years, and Christina has been the radio show producer for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Each year gathering up guests of different specialties, and she does an amazing job, and we're just great to keep going. So with that all being said, Dr. Ahmed.
Good morning.
We're so happy to have you here. And I think Iris and I were like, when we were reading your bio, we said, I think we need the show to be about 3 hours.
So it's great to be back. Great to be back at Project Independence.
And it's great to have you back. So we're going to talk mainly about sleep disorders and with people in the later years. What's the most significant change that people experience as they get older? Coming, you know, with their sleep.
So sleep changes throughout lifetime, and as we mature and become elderly, the distribution of sleep changes. We're all used to being adults and sleeping maybe from 11 to 6 p.m. All of our sleep is consolidated into one major episode, which we call the time that we sleep. As we get elderly, that shortens, and that can fragment until we're at the very advanced stages of life that many Americans are living to now. In the 9th or 10th decade, we have shorter opportunities to sleep at night, so we might sleep maybe 4 or 5 hours at night, and then we have biological catnaps that are required. So what happens is Americans find, men and women, that they're not able to stay asleep as well as they could or mm-hmm. sleep as many hours as they could, or they have the arrival of daytime sleepiness that they've not noticed. Now, because we are Americans, we also are struggling, even in our elderly populations, with tremendous amounts of obesity. And obesity is one of the number one causes of the commonest sleep disorder that we see. And that most Americans will know about, which is called sleep apnea, where there's snoring and interrupted breathing associated with being overweight. That becomes more common as we're elderly, and especially as we're older women, peri or postmenopausal, we start to catch up with men, and so snoring becomes apparent, our breathing is interrupted, and we can't sleep through the night.
Wow, so.
But that happens to slender people and younger
people as
well.
It can. That's absolutely right. It happens to people of normal weight and below weight, and also people that are not elderly, but it's more common as we become older.
And what is the cause of that?
So the causes are multifactorial. The commonest cause in America is being overweight. And remember, 7 out of 10 Americans are overweight. 3 out of 10 are obese. 1 out of 10 are morbidly obese. And that distribution doesn't really change as we advance in age. So those are the commonest causes. But sometimes there's also
But why does the overweightness?
Why does it cause that? It's because the airway is very narrow. The airway I'm talking about from your nose to just where your windpipe goes into the bony part of your cage can become narrow and compressed and becomes collapsible, so that when we're awake, our airway is working fine, as all of us now speaking on the radio. When we go to sleep, the airway relaxes and the weight can compress that and cause snoring to happen, and then the airway closes and there's no breathing. So that is going to be one of the commonest things.
Right.
So the message to listeners is any snoring needs to be evaluated. Snoring is not normal, even if everybody in your family was snoring. And snoring probably has more significance the older that you get. In our older patients, they also have commonly conditions like high blood pressure and diabetes, heart disease and lung disease. Many of those things are worsened by interrupted sleep and worsened by breathing that is in interrupted sleep. And the beauty about sleep disorders is many of them can be reversible. So we can reverse them, and that helps improve blood pressure control, stroke risk, heart disease risk, diabetes control. So it's a tremendously powerful way of improving your health.
And even, I think, maybe imbalance. In other words, many older people tend to fall. This is a concern.
Oh,
And sleeplessness or whatever.
So that's great. That's been described in all ages, that we actually have less effective coordination as we're sleep deprived or sleep disordered.
Right.
And in the elderly, if they're not sleeping through the night and they're waking up, maybe they have snoring, maybe they have sleep apnea, they also... The sleep apnea makes you urinate more frequently. Everyone blames the prostate, but it's not the only reason. So now our elderly patients have to get up and go to the restroom because they have an untreated sleep disorder and their fall risk increases. So that's absolutely right. But I would be remiss to not mention that the other very major disorder, which affects, we think 1 in 3 Americans of all ages are affected by a sleep disorder. That's about 100 million Americans will have some form of a sleep disorder. But as we get older, insomnia becomes much more common in men and women. But women at all ages have more insomnia than men. And that can become very problematic. Most Americans don't even know that there is a sleep specialist or a sleep medicine facility they can see. And they try and help their own insomnia, usually by taking alcohol. That is the commonest form of self-medication for people that can't sleep. So on average, 6% of Americans will use alcohol to help them sleep at some point.
To start sleeping.
To help them go to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's not a treatment recommendation. It's a behavior pattern.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then those that are having insomnia, 35% will use alcohol. But the highest consumption of alcohol to help improve sleep is in the over 75-year-old female, where 75% will resort to a tipple in order to try and help them sleep. They don't know their doctors can evaluate sleep. They don't know their sleep centers. And people have a fear of sleep medicines and other interventions on sleep. Yes.
So when you say that they're reversible, how for someone who the most common form of sleep apnea is somebody who's obese or somebody who is overweight, how can someone change that to help them sleep?
Great question, Rebecca. I mean, the first thing is let's get a diagnosis.
Right.
So that requires you meeting with an expert in sleep and just telling your story. We ask, what are the medicines that you're on? What is happening to your sleep? Is it really something to do with your breathing that is affecting you? How is the daytime sleepiness affecting you? Maybe you've had a near motor vehicle collision and had a lucky escape. Sometimes you're falling asleep in your daytime bingo activities, or sometimes you're falling asleep when your grandchildren want to visit. Let's hear the story.
Does food also affect this? In other words, perhaps allergies or just certain foods that just don't work well for sleep? sleep?
Not that I know of. I mean, obviously there are foods that will keep us awake. Caffeine being the number one consumed stimulant in the world, we use to keep ourselves awake. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned briefly, alcohol has devastating impacts on sleep. Even though people think it's safe and use it at home, it can cause lots of insomnia and worsening of sleep apnea, and ultimately sometimes is a cause for alcohol dependence in people that may have a propensity for that. Mm-hmm. So no, it's not that there's a food or allergic context in that. But once we take a story, then we see, well, maybe mm-hmm. we need to study your sleep. And nowadays, the technology is so advanced, we can study you in a sleep center where we can see everything about your sleep, when you're dreaming, when you're not dreaming, are you on your left or your right, is there a leg movement disorder, is there teeth grinding, is there a mm-hmm. movement disorder. People, a lot of elderly people are living alone, or the other partner has a sleep disorder or is soundly asleep and don't realize that they may be waking up at night. There may be a form of sleepwalking. Sometimes there's a form of sleep-related eating. There's all kinds of phenomena that can happen.
Mm. Sleepwalking is so interesting to me. How common is sleepwalking in adults? I know in children...
So in children, it's normal between the ages of 4 and 9. In adults, it can be exposed by certain circumstances. So there are some certain substances and some complications of medicines can cause sleepwalking. I can't think of a percentage off the top of my head. But right. in older patients, behaviors that are emerging from sleep, we call all of them parasomnias. They might not be full-blown sleepwalking, which involves getting up and out of the bed and either walking in the bedroom or actually leaving the bedroom. I have some elderly patients that have left the home and found themselves waking up in the rain, waking up in the lobby, or waking up after they've been found by a policeman. So they can be very, very significant events.
Right.
Wouldn't that be a brain problem, not merely a sleeping problem?
Remember, sleep is all entirely to do with the brain. So it doesn't necessarily, and we don't want to frighten readers, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the brain in the way you might think I have a brain cancer or a frightening brain disease. It can happen in relatively healthy brains when sleep is disordered. But there are other phenomena where patients are getting up and doing automatic behaviors in their sleep. Mm-hmm. They may be one of my patients I'm thinking of now woke up preparing scrambled eggs. One of my patients we're very concerned about goes into the kitchen and fiddles with the oven. I mean, this can be a hazard.
Right.
So there are confusional arousals. There is sleepwalking. And many times we find underneath they have a very common sleep disorder. They have sleep apnea. We help their breathing by either a breathing device you might have heard of called a sleep apnea breathing machine, or nowadays very advanced oral appliances that dentists can make that you just wear in your sleep at nighttime, like a mouthpiece. It supports the jaw and opens up the airway, and a lot of the parasomnias resolve. Sometimes
that can resolve
sleep apnea as well. Uh-huh. There's a whole field of dental sleep medicine, and we're fortunate that here on Long Island at Winthrop and NYU Winthrop, we work with a very advanced dental sleep medicine practice that is one of the best in the country. So we have access to lots of technology, which patients are surprised how simple the principles are, but how effectively it works.
It's as effective as the machine?
It is in the selected patients, yes. Because we, just like we look at the sleep apnea machine in a sleep study and show that it takes away the snoring and the gaps in the breathing, we make an oral appliance with a dental sleep medicine boarded dentist who measures the jaw, makes the adjustments, and then we bring them into the sleep center and we measure their oral appliance and we show the sleep apnea is gone. But the patient has to be carefully chosen. It's not for everyone, just like CPAP is not for mm-hmm. everyone. So the answer is you need a very careful evaluation. But there are other things that I want to mention about the movements. And sometimes there are very sad stories. People will remember the actor Robin Williams, who had unfortunately a very terrible illness and ultimately committed suicide. In posthumously, he was found to have a neurodegenerative disease that was not diagnosed. He was found to have Lewy body dementia. And when after he died, his wife wrote a letter to the Journal of Neurology, which everyone should read. It is written by the wife of Robin Williams, who describes that he was having severe sleep disorders, hallucinations, insomnia, and movements. Unfortunately, he didn't have the benefit of a sleep evaluation, and therefore his Lewy body dementia was not diagnosed, and that could have saved a lot of anguish and suffering, even though there isn't a treatment for that.
Even though there is not a treatment
not
for that
Lewy body dementia.
Disease.
We're
going
to come back to all of this in a few seconds. We've been through our first 15 minutes. It flew by. This is great information. You've been listening to Project Independence in You and Dr. Ahmed. We've been talking about the importance of sleep and sleep disorders, and we will be right back.